Good morning. It's good to be with you. I don't know if that's just because I've been conditioned this way or if it's the Holy Spirit. You never know. So it is so good to be here on this special day. Happy Mother's Day to the moms out there and for those who are in town to be with their kids. A special welcome to you. We want you to know we honor you. We honor your sacrifice and the love that you are poured out and pouring out for your kids. And I want to remind you that the Lord sees. He sees your effort, he sees your heartache, and he sees your joy. And even for those who this day might be challenging and difficult, he sees you too. And the God who of grace and love, he's with you today. I hope you experience that this morning. So happy Mother's Day to all of you. We're in the second part of a four-part series on the greatest commandment. And so we're going to turn our attention to Mark chapter 12. So here we go, Mark chapter 12. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them all well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' And the second is this, 'You shall love the neighbor, your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher." It's good that he affirmed Jesus was right. "You have truly said that he is one, and that there is no other besides him. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared ask him any more questions. Greatest commandment. Here's the crazy thing. When they said, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 6. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God." All these things. It is called the Shema, and Jews quote it twice a day, back in the day and today, even Orthodox Jews, they quote it twice a day. It's so important. The bottom line with this commandment is this. You are to love the Lord your God with everything you have, right? I mean, that's really what he's saying. All your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's everything. Love the Lord your God with all parts of you. And this week, we're going to talk about loving the Lord your God with all your heart. Last week, Kyle did a masterful job of breaking down how Greeks and Jews would have heard what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What those things mean differently to each one of those. And Kyle touched on loving God with your mind. And we do that. We love God with what we perceive. What we perceive is what the mind, what we reason, what we think, right? But the heart is something different. The heart is mysterious. And it has to do with emotions and motivations and passions and what we treasure, right? And how that comes about is mysterious. When we were pregnant with our first son, our first kid, my wife and I were concerned. And we were concerned because we were not like the babysitting type. And so we had this little child coming, and we were a little worried that we wouldn't love this child as much as our 110-pound golden retriever, Moses, okay? That was his name. But when he was born, we were seized by a love we had not experienced before. And immediately, our 110-pound golden retriever went from our baby to family pet, right? Our hearts swelled. And we were pregnant with, Carol was pregnant, I was not. When we were pregnant with Maddie, our second, we thought, could we love another individual like we love this one? And like Josiah, and again, when she was born, it was like we swelled again. We were seized by a greater love. And Moses became family pet to just the dog, right? Just kidding. It was a great dog. But there's something about the love in the heart, it expands, right? I don't know how it happened. To love from the heart is mysterious. It deals with desires and what we treasure and our emotions. And there is not much we wouldn't do for our four kids. Not much we wouldn't give up. And so there's something about the heart that happens to you, right? We love, something happens to you and something you cultivate. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't give us a command to love the Lord our God with all our heart. So there's a part of us that is seized by it and a part of us that it happens that we cultivate. And so we're going to explore that this morning. But before we get in there, as we pray, let me just put this in your mind as we pray. Sometimes you can't understand your own heart. And so, but you can see the effects, right? And to the level you love something from your heart is the level you're willing to suffer and sacrifice for, right? So let's pray, seek the Lord. God, we thank you this morning that you're here with us. God, I pray that you especially draw near to the moms in this room. They know what it means to love from the heart. Lord, expand us. We want to understand more of what it means to love you that way as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You ready? Oh, that was so lame. You guys ready? All right, here we go. Thank you. All right. We're here with Jesus. Let's go. All right. So before we jump into loving God with our whole heart, can we talk about what love means? What does it mean to love? There's a difference between love and affection. Affection is an emotion, and many times when we talk about what we love, we tend to picture we love something based on how we feel about it. But affection is just a feeling of fondness. And that's different from love. See, biblically, love is different than just great affection. John 3:16 says this: "First, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." What happened? God was so seized by an affection for us that what did he do? He gave. He sacrificed. He was motivated to sacrifice and give the thing most precious to him. Does that not speak to what he treasures, right? Love is not just an affection. Love is something that happens within, but then it moves us to act, right? That's a biblical sense of love, affection. And since we're talking about a commandment, we're going to talk about, it's something you do, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. It has to have something that we do. And so we're going to talk about cultivating two attitudes this morning. And the first one is to cultivate an attitude that cherishes God and his ways. That cherishes God and his ways. And to cherish something is to protect, to care for something, to hold dear, to keep it in one's mind, right? We cherish the things of God, love deeply from the heart. Now again, we're dealing with the heart. How does that happen? I don't know. How do our affections and emotions change, our desires, what we cherish? There's a sense in which, man, I don't know how we change those things. And yet, the Bible's pretty clear. First John says this: we love because he first loved us. Right? God loved us first. So the only way that we can learn to love God deeply from the heart is because he loved us first and was willing to give. Brendan Manning, in his book Ragamuffin Gospel, says this: I have been seized by the power of a great affection. Right? I have been seized by a power of a great affection. If you know Jesus, at some point in your life, you were seized by his great love for you, and it changed you. Right? And you can look back to those times. You've been seized. The Bible says, greater love is known than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Right? We give. We give. Today, let me ask you this. You want to love God for me? Are you aware of how much God treasures you this morning? Are you aware of his great love for you? Do you believe that God would die for you? He has. But there's a part of it. Do you believe he would do it? Even though he has. Sometimes we don't think. Do you believe that he wants to give good gifts to you? That his desire is to bless you? Do you believe that God wants to understand you intimately? In Revelations, it says that each person who knows him will receive a white stone with a name on it, a new name, that known only to the person in God. Now, some have postulated that that stone, that name, is like a description of your essence. Right? Have you ever had somebody say something to you that so describes you, it moves you to tears? Right? You ever had that happen? God wants to know you intimately. Do you believe that today? Have you been seized with that affection of God? He loves you. Now we start there. We love because he loved us first. He has loved us. And then Matthew 6 says this, verse 19 and 22. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. We cultivate an attitude of cherishing God as we store up things that are precious to him, as we focus on the things that are eternal, right? This is saying don't store up for the things that you see and all this. Store up treasures in heaven. What do you store up? Do you store up things? Or do you store up memories? Do you store up things that God has done in your life? Or do you hold those precious to you? It's a way of cultivating a relationship with God. Now, let me just say this. When Carol and I, we celebrate our anniversary, sometimes we'll watch our wedding video. Did anybody do that? You just pull it. Now, we can't anymore because it's on an old tape and we don't have something that, a VCR, you know what those things are, VCR? We don't have one anymore. But there's something about it of looking back and going, wow, that is amazing, of seeing me in particular much thinner, okay? and then reminding how much we love each other. And the day we committed to each other. And then thinking about, man, all the stuff that God has done. And there's something that happens when you think about those things that stirs the heart. Right? We focus and we begin to ponder and treasure those things. It happens with friends, too. It's not just people who are married. You ever get together with old friends and you're talking, and all of a sudden you start to talk about the really stupid things you did. Or the events you did together, and there's joy and there's laughter, and you think about those things, and it stirs up affection for one another. There's something, it affects the heart as you focus on those things, as you talk about those things. Mary, Jesus' mother, is an example to us. In Luke chapter 2, this is after the shepherds have come and Jesus is born and they come to see him, and this is what it says. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She was a good mom. And she saw what the Lord was doing and she pondered them. She treasured them in her heart. And then years later, when Jesus was 12 and they went to Jerusalem and Joseph and she were walking away, she realized Jesus wasn't with them. And so they go back and he happens to be in the temple and they find him and he's teaching in the temple at 12 years old. I mean, that's a little crazy, right? And this is what it says. Now, Jesus says to them, why were you searching for me? Because we couldn't find you is the answer to that. Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Moms know what this means, don't you? And we as people, she had a unique relationship with Jesus. And she treasured the things, even when he said weird things to her. Right? The things like, I don't know what you're saying, but I'm treasuring them. Right? Mary was a great mom. Have you thought about what it cost her? It cost her a lot. She was pregnant before marriage. Probably brought shame. She almost was divorced because Joseph thought something was up, and then an angel cut that off, right? And then there was no place for her to bear her son. And then she had to leave her country into Egypt because Herod wanted to kill all the sons who were a certain age because of her son, right? And she ultimately followed him all the way to the foot of the cross and watched him die.
See, Mary pondered things in her heart, and she suffered and sacrificed that which she loved. She suffered along with it. Now, let me just say, the level by which you love something from your heart is the level by which you're willing to give and sacrifice and suffer for, right? We know this. Now, is it the suffering or the sacrifice itself? No, there's something in us that moves us to that. Something in our heart, our motivation, our desire that moves us to sacrifice. You can sacrifice and suffer without heart. You can have duty, right? You could have religion. You go through the motions and you do these things. Now, there's a place for that. It's not bad. It's not bad, but it's not necessarily the heart. When duty and religion have more to do with, I could do the right thing and it's more about me and what I do. But loving something from the heart to sacrifice that way is more about the person or the object that you're suffering for, right? And it makes it more willing. I'm willing to do this. On November, years ago, I got up at 4 a.m. It was below freezing. I put on clothes and I went and I grabbed a lawn chair. And I went outside, and I drove to a Circuit City. And I sat outside at 4:30 a.m. in sub-zero weather, waiting for the Nintendo Wii. Now, this is not normal for me. It is not something I like to do regularly. It's because I have four kids who wanted something badly, and this store had eight. And so I got up early, and I was there. And let me just say, it was awesome. It was amazing. I willingly did it. Why? Because I love my kids. What you love from the heart, you're willing to do really crazy things on. You're willing to suffer and sacrifice at times. Romans 5 says this, but we also glory, when you understand the grace of God, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. To love God from the heart means changing your view of suffering, right? There's something that happens with suffering. When you love something, you're willing to give. I heard a story a couple weeks ago at a conference, and this brother was sharing about a brother who got up in Asia. And this was a Chinese Christian who got up and shared how he was imprisoned for his faith. And in the prison, the guards decided that the best thing for a Christian to do, the job that was best for him, was to clean out the sewage pool. And so regularly, this Christian brother had to be sent into the sewage pool, wading up to his waist to clean it. That doesn't sound fun. And he described how he would go out regularly, and over time, he began to love his time in the sewage pool. And the reason was this. It was the only time he could pray out loud. It was the only time that he could sing at full voice because the guards would not come close because of the stench. And so he would sing, and one of the things he said he sung was the hymn, In the Garden. And the refrain goes like that. The refrain goes like this, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And he said, I realized that my garden was a cesspool. A cesspool was my garden. I could be with the Lord. Listen, when you love something, you sacrifice for them. And it's in those times when you're full of the crap of life, right? It's in those moments that your passions are tested and they're refined, right? The heart is affected. To love God with our whole heart is to let suffering refine our passions, to let it refine what we cherish, to let God be the thing we cherish most. All right, second attitude. We cultivate an attitude that cherishes the things of God, and the second attitude is to be receptive to the ways of God, to God and his ways. We cultivate an attitude of being receptive to the ways of God. Now, the book of Acts ends this way. Paul, witnessing to the Jews in Rome, it ends this way. He quotes the Old Testament saying this, For this people's hearts has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. And he's describing something, a hardness to what God has for them. In Romans 2:5 says this, it says, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourselves for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed. And that's not an enjoyable verse, but there's something about it. It's our heart gets hardened. We love God with our whole heart when we are receptive to his word and his truth. How much you love God from your heart is indicated by your receptivity to his scripture and changing that way, right? How responsive are you to the Bible today? Look, I started this diet called the Whole30. Anyone ever heard of this? I know. They take everything good out of your diet. Carbs, sugar, dairy, all out. I started it, and the other day I'm sitting in my room, and it's evening, and I used to love to eat chips at night, and I said, I got up, and my son Daniel was there, and my wife, and I said, I'm going to get a green bean for a snack. Do you know what I want to get? Daniel says, what? I said, a green bean. And he was like, yeah, Dad. I don't know if I was telling the truth or not. Right? Because there's a part of me that wants a large bag of chips. But there's another part that wants the green bean. Why? Do you know why I'm dieting? The men in my family die between the age of 57 and 65. The age at which my wife's family dies between the age of 90 and 100. That's. But the reason that I'm dying has nothing to do with health. I really could care less. I'm dieting because I don't want my wife to be alone. Right? And so, because I love her, her desires and love affect mine. They change. And I don't know what comes first, whether saying I want a green bean and so my desire follow, or whether it's the green, I'm just green bean, I love them, and so then I do it. I don't know what comes worse, desire or decision in the heart. I think it's probably both. And it's the same way with God's word. It's the same way. There's a part of us that when we read God's word, and if we know he loves us, we'll be responsive to when he says something to us. The Bible touches on all kinds of crazy things. Touches on money, touches on sexuality, touches on relationship. It touches on purpose. And if you know God and you are made in his image and he is not made in your image, then it will touch on your loves and he will want to reorder them. And whenever that happens, any kind of change involves suffering. Some level, big and small. We love God deeply from the heart when we treasure the things that he treasures, and we're responsive when he calls us to those things. So in conclusion, let me remind you, we love God because he first loved us, right? God was so moved by the affection he had for us that he sacrificed his own son. And Jesus came and was so excited for us that he suffered in our place. So as we think about cultivating these attitudes, God has sacrificed and suffered for you. As we close in prayer, I just want you to think about, what are you willing to suffer and sacrifice to love God from a deep heart? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that teaches us. And again, we come to you this morning to say we are unable in ourselves to change our heart, but we know that you have poured your love into our heart by your power and grace. And so, God, would you mold our heart? We want to soften it for you. We want to be responsive to you. God, help us. Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.